Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, everybody, let's do it tonight. Soccer Matters is on the air on the heels of a big Dynamo win last night, 4-1 over San Jose. Those that hung out there after the two-hour delay, boy, my hat is off to you. You are the loyalists. You deserve a couple of free hot dogs. Anyway, that was great from those people who hung out there to see two great goals from Thorold Farson after the break. We got a lot to talk about tonight. Grateful for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm for getting Soccer Talk on the air for years. Big thanks to the guys from the Wheelhouse who are on the road here. Where are they tomorrow? The Pleasure Palace?
The Pleasure Palace. Oh, heck no, Glenn. That sounds way more sensual than where they're going to be.
What did he say? That's what
the
I
Pleasure
thought I
Pier.
Heard. Oh, Pleasure Pier. Well.
Down in Galveston.
Yeah, anything with pleasure in front of it, I don't, it's a little, okay, I need to be quiet here. I would like to be working here next Thursday night. All right, 713-780-3776 is the number. Andrew Carlson back behind the glass, excited for that. Again, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm getting soccer on the airs for years, so big thank you. So here's how we're going to lay it out here tonight. Long interview tonight with Pat Onstad, the Dynamo General Manager. Very upfront, we're going to talk to him about Sebas Ferreira, that situation, a designated player. We are going to talk about the loan agreement with Nelson Quiñones. We are going to talk also about what else can potentially be done in the transfer window. Let me just make something clear here. Why would you think Raul Jimenez of Wolves would come to Houston? Seriously. I mean, let's use some common sense and logic here. And let me also add to that, he may want to come here, but he does not fit what is going on with the Houston Dynamo. So why would you think that's going to happen, and why would you be excited about that? 713-780-3776. Excellent striker, by the way. Some good seasons in the Premier League. After the head injury, has not been the same. Why would you bring a striker that has similar box capability to Sebas Ferreira, who is out of favor, out of sight, and think that this is going to happen in Houston? Now, what I want to just tell you kind of as a code, there are many athletes out there that will befriend those in the media. Those in the media will befriend athletes. I've always tried to keep my distance the best I can. I don't want to drink with athletes. I don't want to hang with them. I could care less what they do in their free time. I honestly can. I don't care. As long as they're good people, but I judge them on their soccer playing ability. But there are those in media now, with the way social media is, that befriend athletes, and then athletes say, hey, can you drop this out there for me? And, you know, these things happen. I've had this presented to me as well. So the Raul Jimenez thing, I mean, just, you got to think logically about it, and Ben Olsen and the way the Dynamo are playing right now. Haven't you heard Ben Olsen very clearly say he wants somebody that runs the channels? He didn't want a specialist like Sebas Ferreira that's in a box. He wanted a guy that can run the channels, and that's what he has now in Aliyu Ibrahim, despite the fact that he's a very young player and 20 years of age. Missed some chances last night, but he ran the channels. He tired out center backs. He did a lot of work along with Quiñones that wore down San Jose that allows guys like Thorold Farson to come in later on in the evening and take advantage of people that are fatigued. So I think we have to think of these things logically. And I see everybody, you know, we always jump way, way high, or we go way, way low. And generally the best place to kind of land is in the middle with all of this. Three straight for the Houston Dynamo. Excellent. By the way, aesthetically, fun to watch. Lots of one-twos, give-and-goes, combination play. They can go direct. One of the goals, they score three quick passes in transition. You got a product now. If this can consistently be laid out by Ben Olsen and his staff, which I think it will be, you got a product now that is incredibly saleable. And I want to remind everybody out there, since 2014, okay, follow me on this. Eighth place, 2014. 2015, eighth place. 9-4-4 at home, despite being eighth and no playoffs. 2016, 10th place, all non-playoff years. 2017, remember that year? Kyoto and Elise of Honduras, running like Ozzy Osbourne crazy train, off the rails, getting sent off, aggressive, physical. You know what their record was at home? 12-1-4. Now, 12-1-4, 9-4-4. 2019, didn't make the playoffs. 10-3-4 at home. 2018, 8-6-3. So you had three seasons there with 9, 10, and 12 wins. You want to know something? Did not move the needle one bit for attendance. Not one bit. For all of you that are out there and opening the playbook and saying, all you got to do is win and they're coming back, you are fooling yourselves. And I am so sick and tired of hearing it. Every time I go on a radio show in another market, Sirius yesterday, San Jose, they all ask me, Glenn, you know, we see the huge crowds. What's wrong with the MLS product? Why don't they go to the MLS games? It's not just winning. And I want to be very careful here, but what has happened prior here for the 9 years before new ownership, and this is the challenge for new ownership now, because you got a product. You got Hector Herrera all engaged. You got a bunch of guys that love playing for each other right now. It's evident. It's fun. I'm having more fun calling games now than in a long, long time. And fans are having more fun. But it's not moving the needle. So we have to examine everything. The relationship with the youth community, the marketing, the promotion, the front office. All of this is natural. All of this is fair. And we need to figure out, you know, who we want to be, what the vision is for the future, and how we can turn this place into a place that should be, quite frankly, in my opinion, sold out every game. I don't care about the heat. I don't care about the competition. I know the soccer fans are here. You know, we can make excuses till we're blue in the face. And I'm done with the excuses. By the way, the bar should be set higher than just the playoffs now. Should be top four, right? Should be top four. Yeah. If we're out there and we're excited about this team, it should be top four now. And things can turn quickly in MLS. So, leads me to my next point. A lot of credit to Ben Olsen and his staff. A lot of people didn't like the Ben Olsen hiring. We were all kind of questioning it, right? 2 years out of the game, Ben Olsen has helped blow up the esprit de corps for this team. He has helped blow up the esprit de corps. He has helped lead with passion. He has brought people together. So he deserves a lot of credit right now. And we're only at the halfway point of the season. But it is that point of the year where, you know, after good starts, the Dynamo sometimes would nosedive. So we're going to do more Dynamo talk here tonight, but I just wanted to set the table with that. So Dynamo GM Pat Onstad on tonight. We're going over everything. I think you're going to really like this interview. I don't want to give it away. We talked all afternoon about that. I got Gold Cup tickets to give away. And I'm going to introduce you to one of the most influential, and we're only going to have a quick 10-minute hit with him, one of the most influential people and knowledgeable people in soccer in America when it comes to event management, TV production, and history of those two said things when it comes to friendly matches here, Gold Cup. His name is Paul Mendez. So you're going to get with Paul here tonight as well. We're going to do a hit with him in the second hour on Gold Cup, Messi to America. This guy is incredibly knowledgeable. Streaming at ESPN975.com, call in number 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. By the way, Hector Herrera, post-match commentary put out by Victor Ariza alluded to the lack of attendance. Now, by the way, that's gold. When your star player is saying, hey, where are you? I love that. I also don't think we as the Dynamo or the Dynamo as an organization have looked at where we are based on the context of history. And that's really important to understand where you're going in the future. When you have had futility since 2014, you have had a not great relationship with the youth community. These are things that we've talked about before. You just can't play a couple of good games in the start of the 2023 season and expect the migration of the Lemmings back to your games. It's not going to happen. Winning alone isn't going to do it. Big part of it, no question. But I'll tell you what, when you're there and you watch these guys and Sviatchenko, and these guys like playing for each other. They're like the U.S. men's national team. They like it. It's fun. You feel it. You feel a part of it. And it kind of tells you about what has come prior. And with that, I say that respectfully. There was a lot of people on the gravy train prior. As players, no question. And I only say that because the marked difference now is it's so visible that it's like throwing a bucket of cold water on somebody's face. But Hector Herrera just said, you know, how come there aren't more people coming? Well, since 2014, the MLS product in Houston, and I will even say prior to that, has been defanged here. And when you see, I just drove into the studio. There's Mexico fans on the streets in the Galleria because Mexico's hanging out in one of these hotels ahead of their game against Honduras, right? This stuff's everywhere, every day. It's visible. Fields, people playing. There are no more excuses. There are no more. I refuse to listen to them anymore. I only want solutions. I only want to hear answers. That's all I want to hear. And I think sometimes you, us as fans, well, wait, spectators slash fans are quick to give us excuses as well. So, that said, let me get off my soapbox here. Hold on. All right. So let's do a little U.S. men's national team talk here and first off, let's go to soundbite number 11, the national team, the 1-0 Chris Richards goal off a header, and this would be the game winner against Canada in the final.
Second U.S. corner. Reina up into the edge of the six, and it's Chris Richards with the opener!
All right, second goal, Fowler and Balogun. This is one that Andrew will like, the Arsenal loanee. We got somebody at a striker now that's making us think differently.
Here's Reina. Driving into space and Balogun on his right! On a night of firsts, Fowler and Balogun has his first international goal for the U.S.
So a couple things right there. Balogun, how quickly has he really kind of joined in and been a part of this group? And I do truly believe there's a couple things with Balogun. He could have chosen Nigeria and England. He's guaranteed a World Cup by taking this gig with the U.S. Okay, so there's one thing you have to consider. Number two, I think he looked at the camaraderie of this group of guys. And this group of guys, Christian Pulisic, Tim Weah, these guys were very vocal about Greg Berhalter coming back. And I think it's kind of sad that the U.S. soccer fan would bang on Christian Pulisic, who gave his all in the World Cup for you, gave his all in helping you win the Nations League, has had a rough year at Chelsea, and is really developing into quite the leader. You may not like Berhalter, but tell me who is the better option to come in as a coach right now. I want to play a piece of audio here from Clint Dempsey, who says he's confused to go back to Berhalter.
I'm confused because you either did something bad enough that lost you the job or caused these interim coaches to be in play, or you didn't. And if you go back with Berhalter, then we've wasted a lot of time. Why have we wasted this much time to just go back with who we had in the beginning?
Because you had to let the air of the whole Reina thing go away. I don't really understand what he's trying to say there. I think he's probably, Clint is probably not a Berhalter fan. So here's a couple things I would consider with Berhalter. I'm down the middle on this. Number one, I remind you that his brother was in the Federation when he was hired. I wasn't a big fan of that, and I was not a big fan of Tata Martino not being interviewed. And by the way, that was all set on this show, okay? And we had Greg Berhalter in the studio. He was on with John and Lance, Excellent guy. You got to stay to Texas, where his coaching tree affects every single MLS team. FC Dallas, Houston Dynamo, and Austin FC. Okay? He gets the job, and he's got very young kids. He grows with the group together. The players play for him, and they play for each other. They go to the World Cup. I don't know if you thought we were going to win the World Cup. I got news for you. We weren't going to win the World Cup in Qatar, okay? This was a World Cup of progress, of evolution, of gaining experience, both coach and players. And by the way, thank you, 2018, because 2 days after we were all disappointed, we realized the silver lining was we are now going to be able to accelerate the development of the best generation of soccer players we've ever had, and they're all playing on big clubs, and they're all playing in Europe, and they're all getting experiences that no national team top to bottom has ever had, okay? So you got a lot in your favor here, plus the knowledge of you got a World Cup coming, right? So the U.S. target, I think, in 2026 has to be the semifinals as a host nation. I think that's fair. So the U.S. goes to the World Cup. Stryker's a big point of contention. We can all say, oh, Pepe should have gone. We can all have our take on that. That's healthy. We're allowed to. Berhalter will, I'm sure, admit to you that he didn't do things correctly. This whole thing with the Reyna family was a disgrace. Sorry. 1-2-3, a massive disgrace. I don't know why Ernie Stewart. I don't know why Brian McBride, who I've met Ernie. I know Brian better because I've called games with. And Brian, I don't know why they just didn't put a stop to this with Claudio Reyna. Don't know. Berhalter guided the U.S. into the second round. It was an exhausted U.S. against the Netherlands, right? Exhausted. So right there, there's a learning moment of how do we rotate the team? How do we get to the knockout stage, plus get there in a place where, from a fitness and fatigue standpoint, we're in a better position. So we'll continue with that. This is called Dance Little Sister. This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. Hey, I want to remind you, it's the summer of soccer here in Houston. And coming up, and at the end of this break, you better be ready. It's 713-780-3776. I'm giving tickets away to Mexico, Honduras, Haiti, Qatar. That's this weekend. And by the way, we also have some winners on social media also that are going to be announced as well. But I'm driving into the studio, as I mentioned, to Andrew and Guillermo. And, you know, there's all these people with Mexico jerseys hanging around one of the hotels in the Galleria. So it's pretty awesome. So here, June 25th, it's Haiti, Qatar, or Qatar, Mexico, Honduras, July 1st. By the way, why is Qatar in the CONCACAF Gold Cup again? I get it because they're hosting. Oh, wait a minute. I think I know. Okay, never mind. July 1st, Guatemala, Canada. So there's Alfonso Davies, Canada, Guatemala. That's at Shell Energy. July 4th, Panama, El Salvador. There you can see Coco Carrasquilla. By the way, El Salvador coached by Hugo Perez. He is going to be on this show in the next coming weeks. So Hugo's already committed to coming on, the former U.S. national team member. And then the big kahuna for many will be Real Madrid and Manchester United, July 26th. Rumor is Andrew Carlson is going on the road as a groupie for Arsenal's tour of America. Is that true?
Yes, going to be there at watching Manchester United versus Arsenal at MetLife Stadium the weekend prior. So may just have to make it a double and come back down to Houston for that Wednesday.
I think that has to happen. If you're going to continue as producer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm, you got to do the double, buddy.
I think we can make that happen.
All right. I like to hear that. We can make that happen. Okay. So here's my World Cup moment brought to you by Soccer Matters, and then we're going to go back to a U.S. men's national team talk. So, yes, we are hosting the World Cup in 2026. That's why we try to remind you each and every week on the show, because we really need to think about the Dynamo, youth soccer, high school soccer, adult soccer, all the soccer and things going on in the city in the context of, hey, it's down the road and it's not far away. We're hosting the you-know-what World Cup. It's unbelievable. Okay, so here's my World Cup moment, and it's brought to you by Soccer Matters. So this one's out of the theater of the bizarre, and one many have not heard of. Now, before the 1970 World Cup in Mexico, the English national team, led by Bobby Moore, trained in Bogota, Colombia, of all places. I learned something here. During a night off with the England players, they went to a jewelry store in the city. An employee approached the legendary captain, Bobby Moore, who, by the way, a couple years early lifted the World Cup trophy, the only one England has ever won in 66, right? The woman in the store and the owner came up to him. She claimed he stole a bracelet. Bobby Moore denied it, as did the England players. The accuser kept changing her story. The information was very flimsy. The evidence really, you know, it was a setup. Definite setup. Charges were eventually dropped. He was allowed to rejoin the team, but the incident was to some degree a distraction to England, but not to Bobby Moore. Moore, the great leader that he is, would go to Mexico, perform exceptionally well, and many remember how well he played against Brazil, specifically against Jairzinho, and throughout the tournament played amazing as a true England legend. Now, years earlier, remember, as I mentioned, he lifted the World Cup in 66 as the England captain, played in the first ever match at the Astrodome right here in Houston for West Ham against Real Madrid as a World Cup winner. How about that from the eighth wonder of the world, our Astrodome, which to this day still stands. That's your World Cup moment brought to you by Soccer Matters, and we remind you, we host the World Cup in 2026, and for all of you who have bought tickets, attended games, played the game passionately, or around it in Houston, by the way, pat yourself on the back. You helped bring the World Cup here. All right, Team of the Week is brought to you by Hugh O'Connor's Pub. No doubt it goes to the U.S. national team and manager B.J. Callahan, interim manager. 3-0 over Mexico, 2-0 over Canada, nailed down the CONCACAF National League, Nations League title. Dismantling of Mexico led to the firing of Diego Coca. Man of the match, clearly, Christian Pulisic with two goals against Mexico. Big moment for CP. U.S. would use its depth to defeat Canada on goals, as we mentioned, by Chris Richards and Fowler and Bolligan. Team of the Week, U.S. national team, brought to you by Hugh O'Connor's Pub. That's out on I-10, Marquee Entertainment Center. Get out there. Go and see Dave Goose, home of the Liverpool supporters group. Okay, so what else did we learn from the U.S. men's national team win of the Nations League? Well, we saw Gio Reyna in the number 10 as a playmaker. And you know what else? Greg Berhalter's watching this from afar. That doesn't mean that's what should have happened in the World Cup, by the way. So don't get crazy. Different time, different context. There's a lot of different things there. That doesn't mean that should have happened in the World Cup. Okay? Throughout the World Cup, the midfield was always Yunus Musa. It was always Weston McKennie and Tyler Adams. It was a midfield that can match anybody athletically, in my opinion, in the world. But we find out the beauty of Reyna in the 10. Now, we also saw Gio Reyna being a model citizen because you know what? He has to be. This is the other silver lining out of this whole incident with the Reyna family and trying to essentially blackmail Greg Berhalter. This is also something positive that comes out of it because potentially this is a moment where Gio Reyna can mature. And he looked mature in the two games, and I give him a lot of credit. He was under the microscope. But there's also another little thing that we have to remember. He's injury prone. That's why Dortmund's trying to sell him for $20 million, I think. So he got injured in the final. That's another thing we're going to have to keep an eye on. But with him at the 10, this gives you another option. It gets your most skilled potential playmaker on the field. And it's also a situation where, you know, it's going to allow you to rotate people in midfield a little bit more, give you options against specific teams. Who knows? Maybe he locks that down if his work ethic without the ball is good enough and he remains injury-free. He owns that position, goes and owns it. We'll see. Time will tell. Fowler and Bolligan at 20, fitting in beautifully. You know what? Let's go to soundbite 14. What stuck out to Bolligan about his short time with the team?
Just the resilience and the way we stick together, you know. We saw it in the first game and we're seeing it here. We really, really do support each other. I've only been here a short amount of time, but already I feel a part of it, and I feel a part of something bigger. So, I mean, it's a great feeling.
Yeah, I love that soundbite. That's awesome. So there's Balogun right away fitting in. That's not easy to do with a bunch of new players. Team spirit, support of each other. The players got Berhalter his job back. I understand Clint Dempsey wanted something to happen quicker, but I think based on the situation, you know, do you wonder if Greg Berhalter, 713-780-37, was that the easy thing to do to bring him back? Or from the perspective of U.S. soccer, was that a difficult thing to do? And by the way, you know, federations all have had their real struggles here. I don't think Berhalter was protected well against the Reyna family by those that were in the higher up positions. That snake should have been cut off at the head and cut off early. There was no reason for the U.S. to dance with a mother and a father of a soccer player on a team trying to qualify for the next round of the World Cup. It's just a joke. Okay, it's entitlement at its best. Zimmerman, Aronson, Joe Scally. Now, one of the bad takeaways from the Mexico game was the obvious taking the bait of Mexico and the sending off of Sergiño Dest and Weston McKennie. McKennie's got to be careful, because if that kind of continues, he becomes a liability. And you know what? A manager is going to look at him and say, is it him or is it, yeah, I slightly want him in this game. He's a better tactical fit, but nah, emotional control. Weston, you sit. He's got to get that right. So McKennie and Dest get sent off. Miles Robinson, I think, got hurt. So Zimmerman, Aronson, and Joe Scally, I think, all came in, showed the depth of the U.S. and played well. I mean, Scally got skinned once or twice by Alfonso Davies, but did a very good job on him. 713-780-3776. And by the way, credit to B.J. Callahan, who now a lot of people know about, who didn't know about him before. By the way, picked by Greg Berhalter to be on his staff in a very difficult situation as an interim manager, laying it out beautifully, making a tactical change or two, and making things happen. All right. Do we have a caller here, I believe? Okay, let's go to Martin. Martin, what do you have?
Hey, how you doing, Glenn?
Good, Martin. How are you?
Good, good. Yeah, I wanted to talk about the whole Greg situation. You know, I'm not going to say I feel great about the rehire, I guess. I feel okay. Greg, he's a proven coach. I feel like, you know, he's the coach to be coaching this team, to be honest. But the reason why I feel okay about it is because I think one of my beefs with Greg, if I had him in front of me, would be, you know, I just wish he wouldn't try to be smarter than the game, if that makes any sense. And you may disagree with me on this, but I feel like, I don't know if that's an American soccer thing, but because I've seen it even in the Lip League and Youth League, where coaches try to be smarter than the game. And, you know, to this day, I still question a lot of moves that he did and a lot of the game plans that he had in the World Cup. But, yeah, I mean, he needs to realize the players that he has. You know, I think these players have shown that whoever, you know, is at the helm, you know, they're going to perform, you know. And I think that's something that Greg needs to look at and, you know, just let them, I guess, for lack of a better term, let them loose, you know. These past two games, you know, I mean, I was impressed. You know, I feel like I'm pretty sure this interim coach that was there had a game plan, but it seemed like he let them loose and they did what they did. And it's one of the greatest performances that I've seen.
I think these were two great games, Martin, but I don't think you can compare the two. They're two totally different things. Look, he got you out of the group. We had a problem scoring goals. You got to the Netherlands game, you were fatigued because too many guys were overworked to get there, right? You didn't score goals and take the pressure off yourself. I do agree with you. The team looks more creative. I think that's simply because Gio Reyna is in the 10. But we also have to remember the story of Reyna coming into the World Cup. He was not fit. He had injury problems. He had a lot of fanboys around the country that probably don't know what's going on behind the scenes. So I think we have to take all that into consideration. Now, that said, as I just mentioned a minute ago, He was a model citizen the last two games, needs to mature, needs to grow up, clearly is exceptionally talented. And with Bolligan in front of him, potentially now full-time, Pulisic and Weah, that's a pretty nice front four for the United States national team. We've never seen anything like that before. So why wouldn't you want to give Berhalter, who seems to be a very intelligent guy, the opportunity to learn from his mistakes, despite getting the U.S. to the knockout stages? Don't you think he's going to learn from this World Cup? And by the way, don't forget, the players lobbied for him to be back a second go-round.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, you know, in the beginning, I do believe he's the one, you know, to be coaching this team. You know, you're exactly right. If he learns from his mistakes, we're brewing something here that, you know, hopefully, you know, on paper it looks like, you know, they're going to do great throughout these years up to the World Cup. You know, what Clint Dempsey said, you know, you mentioned it earlier, I kind of understand what he meant, but it didn't make sense either to me because, I mean, these guys, they already know Greg, you know, so they really didn't waste any time, in my opinion. So, I mean, he's the guy. For me, he's the guy. I just hope he tries not to be smarter than the game. Just let he needs to know the guys that he has and let them loose, and we'll see what happens.
Well, listen, I want you to listen to this, Martin, because here's soundbite number 22, and I think the fact that Greg Berhalter is sitting back. I heard Charlie Davies or somebody on one of the panels say, oh, no, he needs to get right back in there, and I completely disagree. I think it's great for him to sit back, think, assess, watch Reyna, watch Pepe, watch what B.J. Callahan's going to do in the Gold Cup, and I think there's a lot of learning that can go on here for a manager by not going right back into the fray. Here's Berhalter on his time off.
Looking at the performance of the World Cup as the measuring stick and as to how you can be successful in the next World Cup, there are certainly elements to dissect. I didn't think we were good enough on set pieces, attacking set pieces in the last World Cup. That's definitely an area of opportunity. I think offensive transition moments let us down at times in the last World Cup. Our defensive shape was excellent. Our high pressure was excellent. But then when we win the ball, how can we more effectively create chances on the counterattack? So digging into all these things, you know, looking at different defensive formations, how to press opponents was something I focused on. And then speaking to other coaches about the management side of it, leadership side of it, you know, I was able to travel around Europe and meet a number of coaches and walk through some of that. So the time off was actually helpful in some respects to share ideas with a lot of high-level coaches.
Okay, so I'm going to add one big one to this, and this is amazing because I don't hear anybody around the country. I mean, I'm sure somebody has said this. I'm not trying to be like, hey, I'm the only guy who said it, but if you watched that World Cup, and if you watched our history in the World Cup, it's pretty clear it's about Cavalier spirit in the past. It's about Tim Howard, Casey Keller, great goalkeeping, a timely goal from Clint Dempsey or Brian McBride. World Cups have been about fight, spirit, Cavalier, bravery for the U.S. This World Cup, you have to consider the rotation policy of Greg Berhalter. He wore out Tyler Adams. He wore out Weston McKennie. Okay? He wore out Yunus Musah. He wore out Dest. And he wore out Anthony Robinson. So the rotation of players to get you through that first round and get you into a game against the Netherlands where you're not as fatigued is important. That was always going to be tough. You saw that Dest and Robinson, who were excellent in the first three games, Adams, they were tired. Adams lost the ball that led to a goal. They were tired. Also, you tie into that, not scoring goals to take the pressure off you. So rotation, navigation of a World Cup, I add that into everything that he said. But I also like what Martin says. There is an element now simply because of the organic nature of Gio Reyna and an amazing skill set. Smooth. Beautiful laid-on ball to Bolligan. There's a lot of good things happening. I've never been as excited about a national team. I love these guys. I love their want to play for each other. To me, it's about the game and the sport and the team now. It's not about all this other nonsense that we sometimes just get inundated with. Okay. I'm going to talk some more Dynamo when we come back. By the way, San Jose, were you in a catatonic state to start that game last night? You got smacked for two goals in the first 5 minutes. So thanks to Martin. By the way, caller number, well, we have Gold Cup coming up, June 25th. That's this weekend. Mexico, Honduras, Haiti, Qatar. Got a pair of tickets right now. Caller number five at 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. I got a deuce, as in Clint Dempsey, to go to the Gold Cup this weekend.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Bossy is pulled out on the left. And he's scooting forward here, eating up space. He's got the target. That's Quiñones. Quiñones with a good look across. It's a second. They are pounding San Jose. It's Corey Bear.
All right, 2-0 in the first 5 minutes. By the way, just to tag the U.S. men's national team talk. And by the way, money talks, ACDC says so. That means it. By the way, our ticket winner is a serial ticket winner on this show. When I saw the name of the winner again, and I'm not going to reveal the sources, but, I mean, this guy has won like four times, right? He's won like four times. It's pretty funny. All right, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. By the way, the phone line's blowing up for the Gold Cup tickets. Absolutely blowing up. All right, so here's one thing B.J. Callahan said, and this is very important in the context of everything with Gio Reyna, Greg Berhalter, and the U.S. national team, and the potential of him being a guy that plays behind a striker and as a playmaker, legit playmaker. B.J. Callahan said, quote, "We challenged him to do more work off the ball on the defensive side, and he's absolutely risen to the occasion over those two games, Gio Reyna." And I would agree with him. I would also say he's not a guy that did a lot when the ball was lost in the past in a lot of the games I've seen. Okay, so if he wants to lock that number 10 position down, he's going to have to develop a work ethic when the ball is lost, and an improved game without the ball. So there's no question about that. All right, so you heard the goal there. That was goal number two from Corey Baird. He's now got three. Thorough Farson came on and smacked two great goals in. Hector Herrera was a big part of that. Here's Ben Olsen, and by the way, this is a good quote because the Dynamo came out so alive here at home, so much more alive than San Jose. This is soundbite seven.
Overall, I'm really pleased with the performance, defensively sound, but more the mentality of a night like this, right? It's as hot as can be, a good start, and we got a little lazy, a little complacent. The game was a hair easy in that moment for us, and I thought we let down our guard. They came back with a set piece, a really good ball, a set piece we shouldn't concede, and then... You know, then it gets a little nervy there till halftime. I thought we came out for the 20 minutes. We were in good form in the second half. And then you go sit in the locker room for an hour, 2 hours. So that's a hard thing to reset on for both teams. And our mentality coming out of there was just really good. And I thought the way we saw out the last 30 minutes was at a really high level.
All right, so there's Dynamo coach Ben Olsen, him and his staff now. Three straight wins now. You're seeing some things develop. They started off with a good defensive structure. They built from defending on out. This was a team that didn't look like it could score goals at all for a large portion of the games. But now, a quick 9 points, and you're in fourth place, and this is the way Major League Soccer works. 713-780-3776. So it's turning in the correct and the right direction. All right, so here's a couple of my takeaways. I'd like yours. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. By the way, those fans that stayed, phenomenal after the Lightning. It might have been a couple hundred stuck around. They were great. So the dynamics and the threat of Aliyu Ibrahim and Nelson Quiñones. Now, Quiñones' loan is up soon. And I'm gonna let Pat Onstad in my interview with him handle that. And I'm gonna stay out of that for right now. But ever since those two guys began playing against Vancouver, even in the 6-2 loss, the Dynamo became a more dangerous attacking team for a lot of reasons. They're a vertical threat, they get defenses to step back, that gives your midfield more room. You got a penetrator off the dribble. It took a while for Quiñones to really get a run of a couple games. So that's what's going to make the whole loan situation very interesting. But that athleticism and work ethic alone, along with skill, penetration, getting to the end line, Ibrahim running channels, made some great runs last night, even though he didn't score. That wears down a team both mentally and physically. Okay, so they are a huge piece of this thing turning. This also affects the positional change, allowing you to play Amin Bassi as a playmaker. And I played sound on the pregame show on the radio before last night where Bassi says, this is my natural position. This is where I want to play. I think he had one of his best games of the year last night, hands down. He doesn't want to be out wide with those little legs running up and down and wearing himself out. He wants to be getting into pockets. He pulled left a lot to pick up the ball. But you don't want him doing all that additional running. The true axis of this team, the big signing in the offseason, was Artur. This is the Dynamo and Pat Onstad, and obviously very familiar with him, Asher Mendelson. That is a huge signing. That position is so upgraded, it's hard to even, explain how much better that position is and the effect it has on center backs. So Herrera and Artur are the axis of this team, no question. Watching Herrera orchestrate this team, watching Herrera through his unselfishness, his generosity. There's times when he can shoot. He plays other people in. He's working all kinds of guys, the younger players, the older players. He's embraced this. And he wants more. And I think it's phenomenal. Daniel Steris, what a utility man. I mean, come on, this guy's a center back. You think it's easy playing left back and being right-footed and being a center back? You want to be out there with those little tricky guys? I didn't see Espinosa do much last night. I didn't see, Abobasi do anything last night. Those two guys were marginalized. They were nothing. They did nothing last night. And the Dynamo have to take credit for that. Eric Sviatchenko. Okay, now a lot of people, Bartlow, what did he do to lose it? This guy's experienced. He's got European savvy. He shows it. Bartlow had a great season up until then. He's got a battle to get back in the lineup now. But he's your first choice. I know it's harsh, but this is professional sports. This is a champagne problem. Mikel and his discovery. Last year, played limited. Had a 45 minutes in MLS. I said, man, this Brazilian kid looks composed. Has composure. He's on the rise as a left center back. And then you're thinking about teenage Adebi's injury. He's out of sight, out of mind now. And he's a DP. Yeah, two DPs that aren't even evident in this team right now. Sebas Ferreira and teenage Adebi. Baird's in the final year of his contract. He also has benefited from the Aliyu and Quiñones move. And frankly, when Carrasquilla is back, you don't know what Baird's role is going to be. It might be starting sometime, spot starter. It might be off the bench where he's been highly effective. But again, another wonderful problem for Ben Olsen. Coco in that hybrid role that Olsen brought, love it. Because Coco can run the ball forward like nobody's business. That's how he does it for the Dynamo. Now, the end product, that's a whole nother story. But I think the fact that you move him wide, you let him tuck in a little bit at times, I think this is confusing for opponents. You got to get more benefit and chances out of his drive to get forward. But he's the most progressive guy running with the ball. And I mean, we all look at it and we go, wow, he's like shot out of a cannon. You just want more end product. That's why everybody around the league is going, well, he's unbelievable. Well, yes, and he's not necessarily playing in his role. Plays a little bit deeper with Panama, but he made, the Nations League best 11. So there's a lot of eyeballs on him. So that hybrid role, I also love that. I love these little tweaks and little wrinkles that are put in. Sebas Ferreira. I mean, it's like, how are you going to move this guy? Because I mean, I'm not speaking for anybody here, but I think what we're seeing is we're seeing a guy that's not going to be a part of this. And I think a big part of this is the tactical side of it. So how do you move him? You're probably going to have to pay for part of his salary. Ivan Franko, I think, is another one that, you know, he's a lone player. I don't know if he's done enough. Certainly active, busy. Had the game winner against Austin. And Brooklyn Reigns now not getting minutes anymore. One of the younger Dynamo players. So there's a lot going on. And there's a lot of competition. This is good stuff. And you're at Austin FC this weekend. That comes off probably their biggest win of the year, because they've had a lot of problems up there. They get a 3-0 victory over FC Dallas. I've only watched the highlights, not the full game. So I will watch the full game before the weekend comes along. So that's pretty interesting. You know, back to the Dynamo resurgence, you know, people are noticing it. It's just something we haven't seen in a long time. The mix and the variety of attack, the possession. Look, we have not seen a possession game like this maybe ever in Houston. No, we haven't ever seen it. You know what? I'm going to say we've never seen a possession game like this in Houston, ever. We have never seen a possession game like this. And that's when you look on paper and you see Herrera, you see Artur. Artur gets out of trouble so elegantly and, you know, confidently. Can you imagine how many times last year watching this team? You remember Tab Ramos was complaining. We just can't keep the ball. We're not good enough. We just can't keep the ball. You want to know something, folks? Yeah, it's about a coach and a coaching staff. It's also about, and again, please don't think I'm being disrespectful to anybody, but it's about better players. There is meritocracy in professional sports. There's meritocracy in the way teams are run. Okay? I learned a great lesson from the rock and roll guy, Alice Cooper. He said, when he goes on tour and he picks his band, he says there's three categories of musicians, A, B, and C. And he looks at the camera and he goes, I only pick A. This is Moby. This is not Alice Cooper. We will take a break here. 713-780-3776 is the number. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We're going to come back. We're going to come back with one of the smartest soccer guys in the country that you don't know about. His name's Paul Mendez. Brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.